Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider in studio. Bobby, you're not a pigeon at the Hall of Fame. You're on the...
He's on the board.
You're on the board, and you're in there. You've been honored by the Hall of Fame.
Man.
Because we obviously did the show down there yesterday, and these two are kind of pigeons, but they play in the league, so everybody knows them.
They're not pigeons.
But I'm, like, below a pigeon, because nobody knows me. I didn't play in the league.
Pigeon's such a good word, so... Yeah.
Floater. We were floater central... Or pigeons.
I think below it is a goose.
No.
Can you think of a bird that's below pigeon on the depth chart?
Well, if you're at my cottage on any given day, it would be a goose. And the funny thing about Canadian geese is they're so symbolic. Like when you see a video of a goose taking off from the lake and flying, it's this majestic Canadian thing. And there's, you know, when they first opened the Eaton Center, the trademark of the Eaton Center in downtown Toronto was they had an architect put up all these Canadian geese hanging from the glass ceiling of the Eaton Center. And it was, everybody went down just to see that.
Symbolic.
Yeah. And then when you've got like 30 of them on your front lawn and, and you see what they leave behind, they will literally destroy, you know. So you try to coexist peacefully with the natural habitat. It's their property as much as yours, but
you don't go out with the broom.
You got to shoo them away. I mean, and quite frankly, I'm at the cottage a lot, so it's my neighbor who's not there as much, and they love going up on his place. And then if they're on his place, they come over. So I've kind of got a thing for geese, and not a good thing.
No. Have you ever been on a golf course and they start chasing you around?
Aren't they like, are they a little bit?
They're aggressive.
Oh, yeah, they're aggressive.
They're aggressive.
We got them here in the parking lot.
I know. I was walking.
They were living
over
in my parking spot there for a while. I wasn't in it. Now Gord Miller's in there more than the geese. But
I like bring it back to Kelly Chase always. But I was walking from one building to the other, and there was one that was kind of like on the edge of the curb, and it was coming towards us, and Chaser like yelled at it, like, and it came after Chaser, and he was like, "Get out of here, you dope," and he was fighting with this whatever goose.
He's from Saskatchewan. This and, yeah, right up his alley.
Exactly.
Let's fight a goose.
But it was, he was rattled by it. I didn't even realize. He just walked by it. But the thing
as
was,
they say, you're getting goosed.
He was he was agitated.
No, they'll
the
chase you on a golf course, man. You put one by the water, and they're there, and they're not in a mood. Just you're leaving it.
Yeah,
and
that's the low end then.
Yeah. All right, Leafs are out in L.A., and Matthews is on the roadie. And obviously that, I would guess he probably said, "Can I come to California?" And Babcock was like, "Yeah, we can allow you to come to California." But we were talking about this earlier, Bob, with Nylander, and we all know that the Leafs would prefer to sign him, and I know you've been saying that throughout the whole process, and that's still the plan. But if it gets to a point where they trade Nylander, how do you think Matthews reacts to it if the agreement was Marner plays with Tavares, and that means Nylander plays with Matthews? And if Nylander isn't here anymore, then how does Matthews react to that?
Yeah, you know what, I mean...
Does that factor in, though? Would Dubas have to think about that?
Well,
I would think so.
Yes and no. I mean, it depends what you... You know, that's such a... I'll be torts here. It's such a hypothetical. I'm not even going to answer that question. But, no, it would depend on what you're getting back. Are you getting back a defenseman? Are you getting back another forward? Are you getting back both? You know, where does everybody fit in? Is he cool with Kapanen over there as opposed to Nylander? So there's a lot of different factors. And at the end of the day, I mean, players play and coaches coach and managers manage. And it's a shared responsibility. If they get to the point where you know, they can't get William Nylander signed and they feel they have to trade him, I suppose there'll be lots of players on the Leafs that might look at management and say, "Oh, man, you can't believe you're doing that." And if I was management, I'd go back to them and say, "Well, yeah, I could have signed them for like $7.5 or $8 million a year, and I'm firing one of you guys out the door."
Right.
Yeah.
So pick your poison, you know. It's only so many, you know, you can only put 10 pounds of fertilizer in a 10-pound bag in the salary cap era.
Well, we were talking over the last couple of days, even last week, about... You know, a situation where if you do sign Nylander, fine, it works out. But if you don't, like, at what point in the negotiations, what level of pressure point are we at right now? Like, it doesn't surprise me.
The biggest
me, like,
week in the negotiations.
But he says that all the time. But you know, Shanny came out and kind of opened the door a little bit, saying, you know, we asked in Detroit, we wanted guys to fall in, and then it's been dead silent after that. And then now all of a sudden it I don't know how it's been released or whatever. You're hearing rumblings like, oh, the Leafs would listen to packages, sure, or whatever. So is that...
They've got to do two things at the same time, very simply.
Right.
There's a signed Nylander track.
Right.
And they'll work... That's their priority. They want to sign him. So I'm sure every day they can, they're talking to Lewis Gross, and they're trying to get a deal done. At the same time that's happening, there's a trade Nylander track, because we're now down to the, you know, we're getting close to the December 1st deadline. It's 5 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday, December 1st. That's when he's got to be signed by, and whether it's with the Leafs or somebody else. So they can't get to, like, December 30th or the morning of December 1st and say, man, we can't get him signed. Maybe we should try and trade him now. You got to do all your trade homework now. And right, that's what they're doing. That's why Kyle Lewis is talking to teams and what have you. So it's really complicated, though. And it's a complicated trade to make because of the finances.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of teams.
Doesn't want to pay him, too.
They don't. Yeah, most of the teams that want William Nylander are like, yeah, we want him. We love him. We're not going to give him any more than Toronto's offering.
Right, exactly.
Now, there are other teams that might say, yeah, we'll give him more than Toronto's offering. I'll give him 7. I'll give him 7.5. And Dubas is looking at their lineup and going, yeah, I don't see a defenseman or a winger there that we want to come back. And I do not believe for a moment in a trade that Kyle Dubas is going to take, oh, I'll take a third line this and a number 5D here and a pick. He believes this player's a core young piece coming out of entry level. He's virtually in his prime or getting there. So they don't want to take an 18 or a 19-year-old because that's not going to help him now. And they don't want to take a 27 or a 28-year-old and whose window might close downstream, before the overall group fully matures in another 2 or 3 years. So it's a really hard trade to make.
Bob McKenzie in studio. Speaking of complications, the Tom Wilson suspension. First of all, I had forgotten it happened during the preseason.
Yeah.
Like, it's been so long, but it was September 30th, I believe. They have played 16 games. He was originally suspended for 20.
Yep.
Then it went to Bettman. Bettman upheld the 20. Then it went to an outside arbitrator. The arbitrator said, actually, 14 games. They're about to play their 17th tonight.
Yep.
So he can play. I don't know if he's going.
Yeah,
is he going?
Yeah.
He's in mini.
He's in the lineup.
Yeah.
But
he lost 2 games.
That's so strange, though.
That's just the way it goes. Arbitration being what it is, it takes time for the process to work through. So, you appeal. You got so many days to appeal. Bettman's got so many days to hear the appeal. Bettman's got so many days to give a decision on the appeal. Now, Wilson's got so many days to take that and go to the independent arbitrator. The independent arbitrator's got to have a session, and it takes him... And if you saw the ruling and all the evidence and the video and the mounds and mounds and mounds, I don't think people understand the rule of law and how detailed it gets. And so finally, a little less than, took them a day less than 2 weeks, 13 days, 13, 14 days for the independent arbitrator to rule. And by the time he rules, Washington's played 16. Wilson's only suspended for 14, so it's a financial benefit. He saves $378,000 that he otherwise would have been given to the Players Assistance Fund.
So would it be the same timeline, though, if he was appealing a 5-game suspension?
Yeah.
So is that... So
basically,
that's where I would think the PA would be like, we got to change this.
No, well, it wouldn't be 5. You can't take
an
appeal.
Or a 10-game.
6, yeah. And it's got to be 6 or more to go to the independent.
So let's say it's 6. Like, how many guys do you think over history would be like, I would like to appeal this, but there's no point. By the time it gets done...
Yeah, but you do it for the financial reasons.
Yeah, you get the...
And also just to try and, you know, whatever, have less of a rap sheet.
In reading that to the independent arbitrator... felt that Parros did the 3 times.
3 times
and he brought
playoffs.
It back to 2.
Yeah, that might be the biggest takeaway in some respects.
That's what but I...
Aside from the fact, the notable trend here is Dennis Weidman got 20 games for abuse of an official.
Yeah.
Went to the independent arbitrator. His name was James Oldham. And it got reduced to 10. So that was, I think, the first time for an on-ice incident in this CBA that... The independent arbitrator was used, and the ruling went from 20 to 10. Then you had an off-ice incident, same arbitrator as ruled on this Tom Wilson one, and the Austin Watson domestic misdemeanor dispute, assault, yeah, yeah. domestic assault charge that resulted in a 27 game suspension.
Yeah.
And it was reduced by the arbitrator to, I forget what number.
21. Like it was,
21, I want to say. Something like that. Anyways, so again, a little different because it wasn't on ice. It was off ice. Nevertheless, the independent arbitrator reduced that. And now you get Tom Wilson for an on-ice incident, and it goes from 20 down to 14. So that there's a trend developing in this new CBA where the independent arbitrator is reducing the NHL suspensions. That's number one. And number two, to your point, George Parros was using a factor of saying, well, he got four games in the...
In the preseason, it wasn't that far.
Got a playoff suspension right. of X number of games. Parros goes, those are worth three times regular season.
Right.
And then the math from the independent arbitrator was, nah, I'm looking at what you did with Patrick Coletta once upon a time, and there's no precedent for doing three times, so it's two times. So right now, officially, until we hear otherwise from somebody, a suspension in the playoffs should be half as much as it is in the regular season and vice versa.
Yeah.
Okay.
What would get you two games in the playoffs should get you four games in the regular season. And what would get you four games in the regular season should get you two games in the playoffs.
Okay. We'll take that.
And Watson got 18 games, 27-18.
27-18.
Bob McKenzie in studio. Let's get to this Carey Price stuff. We got into this in the previous hour. So he didn't play on Saturday night. They played Niemi against Vegas. And now he's not playing tonight.
Yep.
And Noodles, I guess, did they go public with this? Is this kind of just being acknowledged that they're giving him time off, or has it gone public that they're giving him time off?
Yeah, I got to be careful.
Anyway, he's not playing tonight. You would expect a guy who's the legit starter making $10.5 million a year would be playing. This seems like big news to me. What do you make of this?
Well, they've done it before. There were times last year where they did this. They felt like we need to give this guy some time off to get his focus back or work on the technical things with Stefan Waite. And here they are again. Nobody would have imagined that to be the case. So the Montreal Canadiens like what they've been getting from Niemi. They haven't loved what they've been getting from Price. So it's obviously a problem if it's long term. But if it's a blip on the radar and Carey comes back strong at some point, then everybody forgets about it. And it's interesting, the same thing's happening on the other side.
That's what we were talking about. Yeah. It's actually...
Talbot's out, Koskinen's in, but that's what Edmonton got Koskinen for. They're paying him over $2 million change on a one-way deal with a no-move clause.
Yeah.
So if Talbot's struggling and you want him to be pushed in a competitive environment... and play Koskinen and see what he does. And same thing, there's never a goalie controversy as long as you got one that's stopping the puck.
True, but if there's a guy making $10.5 million on an eight-year deal that just kicked in a month and a half ago.
And over time, but in the short term, there's never a goalie controversy as long as you got one guy going.
Well, that's right. If this is Thursday now... Like, that's what we're saying. If Niemi goes out and stands on his head tonight and they decide to go back to him Thursday and then he plays well, now you start to look at it and go, man, this
or
is...
Or even if Price is a gas can on Thursday.
Well, exactly. Thinking, actually, that's the other way.
But that's that's part of the reason why he's not playing, is that what they're saying is, you know what, let's just back things down. Let's lower the temperature. Let's get Carey reconstruct his game a little bit. Let's give him some time with the goalie coach. Let him clear his mind.
Yeah.
You know, he might not be in the right frame of mind to get into the net. And if he lets in the first three shots on the three goals on six shots or whatever, now you've got a bigger problem than Niemi coming in and maybe playing well enough to win you a hockey game and give him Price the time he needs.
Well, I guess that is when it gets nerve-wracking because he's going back in. I would personally think even if Niemi plays well tonight, he's Carey Price. Yeah. You got to play him. He's your guy.
I think, and I can actually backtrack to our chat last. You're right, because it's a superstar. Like it's front and center. You're like, this guy makes $10.5 million and he's won the heart and he's done all that, but he's just not playing well. So I think what they're looking at is saying, hey, we're a team that's playing well. If you thought about it at the start of the year. Let's even go back a little farther. The only reason the Montreal Canadiens were going to at least tread water this year was we thought Carey Price. That actually hasn't been the case.
It's being the opposite. Canadiens have been great. Price hasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of what they're probably saying is like,
We're winning. I think we talked about this the other day, Brian, just you and I. I looked at Price's goals. Like, they may have had a couple more wins if he hadn't been struggling.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird to say, but, you know, it's a reset. It is, I think, a bigger story more in Montreal, obviously, you're looking at it, but they're winning. So they're kind of like, all right, let's keep it going type of thing. So I don't know.
There's different variables in play.
Right.
I mean, because of the year he had it last year,
yep.
where
yeah.
there were times where he wasn't playing and people were wondering what was going on.
Yeah.
And now this year we're a month into the season and he's yeah. getting two starts off. It's like, what is going on here? You know, understandably so. People on the outside are going to wonder what's going on.
Yeah. Hey, want to go back to Nylander for one quick second? I got some interesting numbers. Remember we talked before about how when you don't sign at the beginning of the year, you sign partway through
yeah.
the year, it gets a little funky with the cap hits.
Yeah, the cap hit, yeah.
I got our friend Dominic at Cap Friendly to run some numbers for us today.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. Let's assume for a moment the Leafs did a six-year deal. $7 million a year. $7 million AAV would normally be the thing. So let's assume that's the case. If you signed him today, this year's cap hit would be $8.7 million. All the remaining years would be $6.7 million. So less than the seven.
Yeah.
So the Leafs love that. And if you did it on November 30th, the day before the deadline, the cap hit this year would be $9.6 million.
Which they have.
They can afford.
Which the Leafs can do. And then it would be $6.6 million years two through six. Okay,
let me guess, they're waiting until November 30th.
You know what? At this point, you might as well.
Yeah, you might as well.
Might as well, if you think you can get it done now. If you did a three-year deal at $5 million, sign them today, the cap hit for this year would be $5.9 million. Years two and three would be $4.6 million. If you do it on November 30th, the cap hit would be $6.6 million, so way above the $5 million AAV that he would have. And it would drop to $4.5 million. So the reason I brought these numbers up is because this works perfectly for the Leafs. It's not part of their strategy, but it could become that now because they've gone this far. But it works perfectly for the Leafs. But all the trade talk we've talked about, there's a lot of teams that like Nylander. They can't take a $9.6 million cap hit.
This year. Right.
At all.
Yeah. They just don't have that kind of room.
Yeah, and they might be prepared to. They maybe could squeeze them in at seven.
I see. So the contract, it would apply to them too.
Oh yeah.
So he's like, I'm signing for 7 years, $7 million.
I'm signing 6 years, $7 million a year.
Yeah.
Right.
And the way the calculation for any team that puts them in their lineups and signs them,
hold on, it costs on
November 30th. On November 30th, a $7 million a year deal for William Nylander will cost the team that puts them in the lineup 9.6 against the cap.
Wow.
That first year.
Yeah.
So it makes it even harder to trade William Nylander between now and the end of the month.
That's interesting.
And you're right. What they would have to do is somebody would have to come back that would clear that up financially. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're trading for William Nylander, and you're going to be trading for a live player that's going to help
with 1 year on their deal. That's what you would think. The
right.
Leafs would be like, we're not taking anything beyond that.
But they may have to take something else.
Yeah, that's complicated.
To make
though.
It work if it's going to go to organization X. But you're right. Like, I think this goes down to the wire now. If
you've gone this far, he's not getting to California by now. Like, he's not playing this week.
I still wholeheartedly believe they're going to get it done.
Well,
but it makes more sense 2 weeks from now if you're going to save a couple hundred on the cap moving forward, because all that does is works a little bit better when you go to sign Mitch Marner.
Absolutely.
And
it frees up some money that every penny counts, and it's going to count. But quickly, Bob, in terms of past history, a lot of these comparables have been used recently with Kyle Turris, who waited a long time, and then finally they said, all right, we'll sign you 2 weeks later, you're out of here.
Yeah.
P.K. Subban, Ryan O'Reilly, there's a long list of them. Do you believe that would apply with Nylander?
No.
You think it's a different case?
No, I think if they get him signed, I think, you know, and obviously if it's a long, you know, I think the plan is they sign him, he'll be in the lineup.
Yeah, and he's here
long-term. Hey, listen,
you
never say never because you run into cap problems, you change your mind 6 months or a year from now. But I don't believe the idea is, let's get him signed so we can trade him.
Right.
They can trade him and let somebody else sign him.
Well, we'll see. All right, Bob.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for popping in. There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider.